Amen. Amen. And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. So good to see your faces, the few faces I can see and hear. And I wish I had a Superman vision. I could see you out there. But that's all right. God sees you. And we want to welcome you to the worship services of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Those that's tuning in here in the city of Houston, outside of Houston, in the United States of America, and in other countries all around the world. It's beautiful to know that there are many who are watching us from all over, literally all over, and we certainly appreciate it. We don't even know how some of you came to even watch us, but we certainly do appreciate you tuning in to our worship services by live stream, conference call, Facebook Live, or YouTube Live. We just thank God for you. Thank God for those that are behind the scenes making all of this happen. This is the day the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. You might as well rejoice. If you've had a tough week, we're still going through various trials and things that are going on. But life still goes on. As long as you got blood running in your vein, you better find something to do with this life. Amen. Amen. Or it'll do something to you. Yes. I'm thankful. Today, this Sunday, we're still in the month of January 2021. Many of you that have been at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ for a while, you know that normally at the beginning of each year, I try to give foundational lessons that pertain to all lessons pertain to the doctrine of Christ, foundational lessons to help us as the church of Christ, as the Lord's church, to maintain our identity, the identity that we identify that's in the Word of God, to maintain our right practices, to know why we're not just a social club. We don't just come here to say hello to everybody, although that's one of the reasons why we come, is to fellowship. We don't come just to necessarily do works for other people to see. Mm-hmm. We're trying to obey God. And we want to make sure we're doing it God's way, because we can literally be doing things. And if they're not authorized or approved by God, then we can be doing those things in vain. Jesus said himself when he was on this earth, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. So it's not about all what our will is. It's by God's will. Amen. We need to say that every now and then, you know, because you look in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, many of the conversion stories, many of those people were already religious, if you want to say. They knew God, they knew about God, but they hadn't completely obeyed God. After they were taught, they obeyed. So we want to jump in. I'm starting a series today, and I'm entitling it The Essentials Series. The Essentials. See, the word essential means a thing that is absolutely necessary. Yeah, it's very important. And there are some things we as individuals and we as collectively, the corporate church, that are essential. And today I want to emphasize the topic according to the scriptures. According to the scripture. You make a note of that. And so I'm going to follow these that you see on your slide, the topics that I'm going to be covering over the next few weeks. And I want you to study with me. I don't want you to sit this out. Don't say, well, I'm going to just sit back and listen to Brother Gear. Take notes, if you will. You may have some questions about what we're talking about. And so we want to address them. We want you to hear the answers. But according to the scriptures is what we are dealing with here today. Laws and rules are essential, are absolutely necessary. You know, just think about this, for an organization, for a club, for the government, for our homes, for a business, for our families. If there was no law, Lord have mercy, we'd have chaos on our hands. Amen. Yeah. So we're not, you know, we know you understand this, whether or not you're religious or not. You do understand that laws are necessary for us to live orderly. If there were no laws, even Timothy, when Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, listen to what he said, 1 Timothy 1, 8. But we know that the law is good. He was speaking about the law of Moses. He said, we know the law is good if one uses it lawfully. realizing the fact that law with a small L, is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and worldly, for those who kill their fathers or mothers for murder. Imagine in society if there were no laws. Oh, that mercy. It's bad enough with the laws. Because people don't want to follow law. Imagine if you say, look here, when you're driving on the freeway, you just drive just the way you want to drive. No law, no speeding laws. You know we'd have chaos. Imagine if there were no laws in society, how we would treat one another. You know, the divorce rate in our nation, in the country, is almost 50%. The divorce. Imagine if there were no laws to match. If we be, well, you, well, just imagine. And so there must be a law. Yeah, there must be a base, a roadmap, a guide, an authoritative standard. And God didn't put us on this earth without a law, without a standard. And I got to ask you a question. You know I like to ask questions. I got to ask you a question before we, as we start this series of lessons. What's your law? And this is not necessary to those of you that, well, it's to all of us, those of you that are members of this church, as members of another church, those of you that are guests, you just, what's your life? What's your standard? What's your standard for your what's your standard for your family? If you're a husband, what's your standard? What's holding you? If you're a wife, what's your standard? What's your standard for marriage? If you're a child, what's your standard for your everyday? What's your standard for how you treat people? You know? Because we do have one, whether it's formal or not. You know, some of us got our standard from our parents, and if you got good parents, that's good. But what about if you didn't have guidance as a parent? Is that an excuse for us to live any kind of way? Some of it is just our upbringing. Whether we were brought up in a gang or whatever it is, it's like we do what some of us it's our peers. We act like we do what our peers say do. I just asked the question: what's your standard? What's your standard for your faith, if you have a faith? And see, even if when I say a faith, I mean your association with God. If it's not a God, what's your stand? If you don't believe in God, where you get that from? Okay. And so I want to submit this now. This you might not shout today. You might not shout. This is kind of a technical lesson. It's a detail. Study as we worship God, okay? And so I want to submit to some and reinforce to others the standard from God. And I want to place an emphasis on the Bible. I want to submit to you the Bible. That it should be on the top of your list as your roadmap and your primary authority, your primary guide to all circumstances, to all experiences. I want to submit to. Okay, just listen for a second. Okay, just listen for a second. Some things, and I know there are different thoughts on the Bible, and I'm going to say more about it in just a minute. The Bible is you got to admit, even if you haven't even read it, you've heard about it, and I believe it's the world's most fascinating book. I do, and I'm biased, I got to say. I grew up with the Bible, and I studied it. I went to school studying the Bible, and still am studying and reading it every day. It's the best-selling book. Some facts we know. It's the best-selling book of all time. What's on the best-selling list right now? I haven't even looked at it lately. I don't know what it is. I know the Bible is the best-selling book for all time. That's significant, just right there. It's widely considered by some to be the finest literature ever written. Just the form, you know, those that are in education, many of them will attest to it, the literature compared to other writings. Authors Shakespeare, Hemingway, Mark Twain, Dickens, Steinbeck, Shelley, all of these authors frequently quoted from the Bible. They knew about it. They knew about it. That's significant. And this is for those of you that are religious and those of you that are not. I'm just making some points. According to the International Bible Society, the Bible has been translated into more than 600, they say 670 languages. What other book has been translated that? I know they have you know, software and things that you can translate different, but what? Who would ever even think to want to translate a book into that many different languages? Yeah. And really, the Bible serves as the foundation of modern laws and ethics. You know, those of you that's in America, you know, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, they won't say Matthew, Mark, and they won't quote the exact scripture, but many of the principles come from the Bible. John Adams, who was a former president, this is one quote he said, suppose a nation is in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, charity toward his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. He said, what a utopia, what a paradise would this region be if we used, that's what John Adams said, president of the United States years ago. That's a quote from him, that's what he said. But I know that's not enough for some of us. See, the word Bible itself is a simple transliteration of the Greek word biblos. And it's interesting to note, and those of you that have been in church a while, don't get shaken up by this. It's interesting to note that the Bible itself does not call itself the Bible. Yeah, that's, you know, the Bible, you won't find the Bible, the word the Bible in the Bible. That's interesting. Because the word, it simply means in its Greek form, book, means book. But if you go back a little bit further and study it, it means parchment or scroll. Because if you go back further, you see there was no such thing as the book. Like we have a book, you have a song book, but the Bible was written originally on parchment, at papyri, at the animal skins, and so it wasn't really a book at that particular time. And so the meaning means the book. Because it's a collection of books, the Bible is over 40 different human authors written over 1,600 years, and there are many other familiar words that come from this Greek word biblos. You've heard of the word bibliography, library. There's a word called bibliophobia. That's the fear of books, and all of those are based on that same Greek word book. Biblos, and it's first called the Bible somewhere around, most scholars will say somewhere around the fourth century, maybe the year 400, in the 300s, the fourth century was called the Bible. A gentleman by the name of John Chrysostom, and he refers to the Old Testament and the New Testament together as the Biblia, the books, the Latin form of biblos. And those of you that know anything about history, the print press would be Gutenberg's printing press wasn't printed until the 400s, until the fourth century or thereabouts. So now, and also know you Americans, those of us who are English speaking, the first Bible wasn't printed in English. Amen. Sometimes we got to open up our minds to see how this picture is bigger than us. Some of us think we're the only religious folk on the earth. You know that's not so. But the first book ever printed was the Bible. on a printing press. It was the Bible. Man, some folk must thought something highly of this Bible. Yeah. And that would be in the 1400s, the first printed book in the 1400s. And that was before, for Christopher, some of you history students, for Christopher Columbus sailed Ocean Blue. That was, wasn't that 1492? Is that right? Before the American colonies were formed. Yeah, this Bible was printed. It was printed. And then in your Bibles, you have verses, you have chapters. The verses and chapters were not originally in the Bible. They were inserted into the Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, the history would say, in the 1600s. And so our Bibles informed, they were put in the verses and chapters were put in the Bible to help us to be able to relate, recall, remember, organize the Bible. There was no addition to the doctrine, but these numbers were put in that Bible. Remember when a writer was inspired by the Holy Spirit, they wrote the letter, they got those words from the Holy Spirit, and they wasn't spending time writing verses and chapters in there, they were just writing the letters out. Amen. That makes sense. I say all of that because we're going to talk a little bit even more technical in just a little bit. So you'll understand this hopefully a little bit better. And then they printed that Bible in about 1551, then 1571. The New Testament was printed in the Hebrew Bible was printed. The language of the Old Testament is Hebrew, the Greek, Aramaic. It wasn't first originated language, was not first English. And so we asked the question, Gregorio, according to the scriptures, we're getting there, we're getting closer. Okay, is this Bible trustworthy? Is it trustworthy? Mm-hmm. Is it trustworthy? So you got to trust something in life. You know, who are you trusting? Yeah, some of us lift up a person, you know, okay. Is the Bible trustworthy? I want to bring you a step further as we kind of study this a little bit. So the Bible wasn't called a Bible. We know the Bible means books. It's a collection of books, a collection of sacred books. Let's give it some tests. Let's give it the bibliographic test. The bibliographic test. It's a little technical. And this is what the textual critics do when it comes to authenticating a book, a document, a letter. Does it pass the bibliographic test? That's the test that determines how close to the original text, how close to the original writing, the original authors, does this document, does this letter, does this book come to? Because if we just told the truth, we know we do not have the original letters that Moses wrote through the Holy Spirit. We don't have the original letters. And we admit that. We admit that. And so Brigham, how is this text? How can you determine if it's correct? Another question is, are we reading the same words that the original authors wrote down? That's a very important question. And so the textual critics, they look for several things to determine if a writing is trustworthy. And they do this with a lot of documents. And so, and you need to understand the word manuscript. One test is the number of manuscripts. Manuscript is handwritten. See, it's handwritten. You know, see, a manuscript is handwritten, and know this. If something's handwritten, my goodness. See, that's important because we didn't have the printing press. They didn't have the printing press back then. So if a document was written down, it had to be handwritten. We still have some historical handwritten copies of some other documents. And this is amazing about the Bible. And the textual critics would say the larger the number of the manuscripts, the better. To determine if something is right, even if somebody copied it. If they put a handwritten copy of something, and there were a lot of handwritten copies, and all of these copies match, but that is significant when it comes to determining the trustworthiness of a document. And so this New Testament, And I'm kind of focusing on the New Testament this morning. The New Testament, boy, it passes this test. The New Testament Bibles that we have pass this test better than any other ancient literature. Any, period. Any document, any other scholarly ancient literature, the New Testament, it passes this test. We don't have it here in possession of the Fieldwater Church of Christ, but there is record of over 5,700 Greek New Testament manuscripts. Handwritten copies, written by different individuals, but the copies match. And I'm not saying there are not any scribal areas or emphasis, but the message of the document, the message is the same. You know, you tell you, if I wrote one sentence and then says the angry doctor gave the patient the wrong medicine. And I just wrote one sentence. The angry doctor gave the patient the wrong medicine. And I told 20 people to copy this sentence. Copy, don't look at each other, copy this sentence. And I bet we would get 20 different. Somebody going to put their word in there. Somebody going to make a mistake on it. And you have 5,700 New Testament manuscripts with the earliest fragment dating back to 125 A.D. That's important. Now, let me just explain about this time A.D. This is the timeline. This is the Gregorian calendar that we use today, primarily most of us use. There is the Hebrew calendar, there is the Gregorian calendar. Some of you know I had a chart, but I forgot to put it in my slides. But let's do this real quick. Let's take the time. BC, some of you know what that means, before Christ. Then you have AD. It don't mean after Christ. It means it comes from the word, the Latin word, Anno Domini. I may be pronouncing that wrong, but it means the year of our Lord, the year the Lord was born, the year of our Lord. And then there's a more modern term to use, the BCE, and that simply means, you may see this in your doctrine, you can Google it or whatever, before the common era. Are before the current era. Before the current era, before the common era means the same thing, and that is before Christ. And then you have AD, and then you have also CE. CE is the common era. CE and AD actually referring to the same thing. So when it says AD 25, we're talking about the New Testament, then that is after the year of our Lord, 125 years. And see, one of the tests is how close to the original document do we have the manuscript? How close to when it was written? And we have copies. Of the manuscripts. The large portion of the Gospels found as early as 200 A.D. That's significant because Christ died about A.D. 33. Some would say A.D. 30 or A.D. 33. And we have manuscript copies that date to A.D. 60, 70, 80s of the Gospels. The Gospels are the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that talk about the life of Christ. We have documents that date only 30, 40 years removed from when Christ died. So we have documents that were written by individuals who walk with some two by his apostles who walk with him. And most scholars would agree to that. That's significant because there are other documents and manuscripts we have by so-called religious individuals who date well after the individual died. Documents about them. Now, if you count other fairly early manuscripts written, they were written in Latin and Coptic and Syriac and Armenian. We have about 20,000 manuscripts, handwritten copies of the New Testament, of the Bible. And even without these manuscripts, one of the experts in writing in manuscripts, Dr. Bruce Metzer, he states that we could still reproduce the text of the New Testament from the quotations found in early church fathers. He said there are individuals who were not Bible writers, but they were in the early life of the church who wrote other documents, and there was enough of those manuscripts that we could put together a whole copy of the whole Bible, which is amazing in and of itself, because that just tells us that they taught from what we have today, the Bible. Yeah. And if you wanted to compare these numbers to other ancient works, it's really not a comparison. The next best is the Iliad. Some of you may know of the Iliad. And they have about 640 manuscript copies that were found of the Iliad. The earliest fragments come from the 3rd century A.D. Notice this. The 3rd century would be around 300. We have fragments come from 125 A.D. 300, that's a huge gap. That's a gap of a 1,000 years gap between the documents. Other individuals. Let me give another test. And then there's another test. It's the internal evidence test. The internal evidence test. And so even if the New Testament passes these bibliographic tests, there's another test that must be given to it to find out its validity. And to prove that it's the original recorded document. So we have manuscript bibliographies of the life of Christ. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, without which we would not have an accurate record of the life of Christ. Then they were written as early as the 60, 70, 80, 90 AD, 90 after the death of Christ in the year of our Lord. And most credible scholars would attest that these dates are very, very accurate. They are all within the 1st century, the 100 years of time itself in the New Testament. And if you compare this with other bibliographies of other religious leaders, it's really not a comparison. For instance, you take Buddha, who lived in the 6th century B.C., A.D. B.C., 6th century B.C., so he lived in 6th century. We have no written biography until the 1st century A.D. Notice the gap. Nothing written about him by anybody to the 1st century A.D., 700 plus years. Then you have Muhammad, who died in 630 A.D., of course, after Christ. We lack a biography, not until 757 A.D., hundreds of years, 150, 160 years later. And Muhammad, you know, he said he had a revelation. You take the Quran, who's written by one person who got a revelation, written by one person. And I just got to ask you the question. Y'all don't know. I know, you know, some people may hold him up there. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about his gift and what he gave to society. I'm telling you, this was written by one person centuries after copies that we have of the manuscript of the Bible. And some of the information, some of the quotes, I haven't read all of the Quran. I've read a few inserts of the Quran. Some of the quotes he take literally out of the Bible. And so I just, you know, we got to listen to somebody. But I won't mind to pass all the tests. And so with Jesus, we have a biography written as early as 65 A.D., And I'm telling you, you got to read this Bible. You got see a lot of people make assumptions, and we make these statements of our beliefs. And see, you need to read the Bible. Amen. Now let me do this. I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm leaning more toward calling the Bible the Scriptures. That's as I grow in Christ, as I grow in the Lord, because that's what the Bible calls. See, it's called the Scriptures. I've heard things. I've heard from our young rebellious black men who say, "Well, Gary, the Bible is a white man's book." Yeah, the Bible, or the Bible was wrote by a man. Well, I just gotta ask you. Everything that you write, everything that you read, every document that was ever produced was written by a man. The question is, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Now, I could go further when it comes to the scriptures because, you know, Now I got to go in the Bible. I had to stay out of it just a minute to put it in perspective. And this is what one of the authors of one of the letters in the Bible, this is what he said in Luke chapter 1, verse 1. We studied this in our academic class with our institute. Luke would be the author. He says, "Since many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us," I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word." You see, God, the scriptures confirm the word. The word is vital to our salvation. He says this, "It seemed fitting to me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out." To write it out. See, this was originally a manuscript for you in an orderly sequence, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. And see, you even in the Old Testament, when God sent Moses up on the mountain and he gave the law to the people. The scriptures say the law was originally written with a finger of God. He wrote it down and he gave it to them. No, there would be no mistake about it. You remember in the garden, and when God gave Adam and Eve, he created them. He didn't give them scripture, written scripture, but he gave them instruction. "Of every tree of the garden you may eat thereof, but of the tree of the garden of the knowledge of good and evil, you may not eat thereof, for on the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Now, he didn't have to write it down for them. He told them what it was, and they violated God's law. Amen? Amen. And look, and when they violated, they didn't say to God, "Lord, God, you didn't write it down. We didn't know what it was." But they knew his law. But this time, as time evolves and God leads his people out of Egyptian bondage, he says, "Moses, come up here on this mountain because I'm going to write it down. And when I write it down, they will have no excuse." Amen. God did it then. He did it again. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gives them this word to write down. And here this author, he says, "I want you to know the exact truth about the things you have been taught." And Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 16, verse 26. But now has been disclosed, and through the scriptures of the prophets. And so some of these young enthusiastic. I love it. I love it when someone studies and asks intelligent questions. Some of you young enthusiasts who are trying to deny the Bible and say it's a white man book, go to the scriptures. You don't want to call it the Bible, call it the scriptures. Amen. Go to the ancient documents. They go past the white man. They go past. See, let's stop seeing the color and see the documents. See the manuscripts. Yeah. And you, Moses, married an Egyptian woman, a black woman. You like that? That's in the scriptures. Amen. That's where you find it, in the scriptures. Let me finish what he says. "And through the scriptures of the prophets, in accordance with the commandment of the eternal God." God commanded them to write the scriptures for us, to guide us. has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. See, this is not about what you feel, what you think, what they talk about in the barbershop, what you talk about after you done smoke 10 joints. Excuse me. We get smart when we get, well, y'all get smart. No, I'm just. Yeah. Listen to Luke 24:43. Now he has said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. This is Luke who writes to Theophilus this document. He says, look, there have been other things. Notice, even when he wrote this, there had already been other things, other accounts that were written. He refers to, he says, but I want to write. And he gives other details about the life of Christ. And see, it's beautiful in the Word of God. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them are called the Gospels because they write about the life of Christ. But they are not cookie cutter. They didn't all sit down and collaborate and say, you write this, you write this, you write this. They all wrote as they got it from the Holy Spirit, and all of them agree with one another. Some of them add some information. Some of them delete some of the information. But they all are testimonies about the life of Christ. And here he says this. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things that are written about me in the law of Moses, that's the Old Testament, in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, must be fulfilled. Then in verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You see, these scriptures, you're not going to just understand everything about them even just by reading them. It's a lifelong study. Isn't that right, Brother JT? The scriptures, who can know everything? Well, I don't see why I got to go to Bible class, because you don't know nothing. I shouldn't say it like that. I mean, you got it all down? Really? Well, look, I've been a Christian now for 50 plus years. I've read the Bible a few times. I'm still reading through the Bible right now. You don't want to know why? There are many things I don't completely understand even when I read them. Yeah. Listen to Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Jesus said to them, did you never read, this is what Jesus said, in the scriptures? A stone which the builders rejected. This has become the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eye. You know who Jesus was talking to when he said this? He talking to folk who studied the scriptures. And he said, look, this is what Jesus is saying, is the Old Testament, you know what that's talking about? Me. The prophets are talking about me. And you missing it. Luke 24:32, they said to one another, were our hearts not burning within us when he was speaking to us on the road while he was explaining? Now, let me say this. If Jesus studied the scriptures, you think we need to study the scriptures? Amen. He was explaining the scripture. Jesus was explaining the scriptures to us. John 5:36, but the testimony I have is greater than the testimony of John. Jesus, now this is the words of Jesus. He said, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me, that the Father has sent me, and the Father who sent me has testified about me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. Also, you do not have his word remaining in you, because you do not believe him whom he sent. You examine the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is those very scriptures that testify about me. You know what's sad? When people can read the Bible and just misconstrue it all kind of ways and don't see Jesus in the scriptures. Oh, I got in this essential series, I got a lesson that certainly, some of this I want to hop on a little bit more right now, but right now, today, I'm hoping that those of you that are on the fence, I hope you have a diligence to want to know more about the scriptures. That's my goal. That's the goal today. And those of you that study the Bible, you study it, you don't understand it, but I hope you will want to dive into it even more to reconfirm that, you know what, I need to be in these scriptures. Acts 18:28, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was. There's a large group who don't have Jesus in the right place today. And you know why? It's because they've either confused themselves or they've misinterpreted the scriptures. Listen to this one, John. I got to close. John 12:48. The one who rejects me and does not accept my teachings, my words, has one who judges him. The word which I spoke, that would judge him in the last day. See, it's gonna be the written word that's gonna judge us. Amen. Yeah. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. Amen. Matthew 7:21. Yeah. He says, he that does the will, and you won't know the will of the Father unless you know what's in the word. Amen. Yeah. I got to close. I have some more. You got time? No, I don't want to go over time. In 1 Corinthians 15 and beginning at verse number 1, Paul, when he was writing to the church, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you receive, wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory that I've delivered unto you. Unless you believe in vain. Then he goes on to say, I've delivered unto you that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's how we know the story of Jesus. That's how we know what Jesus did for us, according to the scriptures, that he was buried on the third day according to, have you seen Jesus? We haven't seen Jesus. How do we know? We know it according to the scriptures. Yeah. Whatever was written in the earlier times was written for our instruction, Romans 15:4, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. In Acts 17:11, now these people were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great gladness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Yeah. I'm glad I don't read Greek. I don't read Hebrew. Just a little bit of it. Scriptures. I'm glad that we have the translations in English that we can understand this Bible, the scriptures better. And then I'm going to try to end with this passage here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, the great, small, standing before the throne. This is judgment time. And this is God. Then the script is interesting. It says, and books were open. You think the written word is not significant to God? He said, but are those literal books? I don't know if they're literal. I don't know if they're figurative. But the scriptures say the books were open. It's like God has a book on Gary Smith. You know, it's like God has a book on everybody. You know, some of you are writers. Some of you take notes. My wife takes notes. And some of you, I've seen you even while I'm preaching, like, you take notes. Some of you send them to Brigitte. These are all the notes. And some of you say, Brigitte, send me my, I'm a note preacher. So I keep notes. So I don't get too far out of hand. I like to write it down. I want to make sure if I got a mistake or something on there, I can kind of go back and check it. You know what? It seems like God likes to write. Because you know how we are. Some of us, we're so technical, and then we have some lawyers out there, doctors and all this thing. I can see some, no, Lord. Hold up, you got that wrong, Lord. That wasn't me. I didn't do that. And sometimes I do that, Scott. Sometimes my wife, she writes notes. You know, we talking about things we're going to do. She writes some notes. I said, where you get that from? She said, here it is right here. I wrote it down when you said it, June the 4th, about 3 o'clock. I said, God, I don't want to see that. Then it says another book was opened. See, there are books, and that's what it would take. You think it would take the Lord books to write about us, to write about you, to write about everything you did? You know some things people don't know about you. You don't think nobody else know? How many books you think God got on you? Ooh, my goodness. But thank God there's another book. Notice this. He said, now books were opened. Then it says, and another book was, that's the book. That's the book you want to be in. See, when we obey the gospel, Acts 2:47 says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. I don't care what you see. Are you in this? I'm telling you, this is why, Lord, as I get older, I'm like, Lord, help me, Jesus, not to fall away. Help me to stay faithful to you. And even all as earnest as I want to do, I still make mistakes. But one mistake you don't want to make before you leave this place is to not have your name in that book. First, you need to get your name in the book. You do that by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's the same invitation, been delivered since the first century church started. On the day of Pentecost, Peter and the rest of the apostles, they gave this message to that whole crowd that was there. They asked him, what shall we do? He said, this is in the book now. Acts 2:38, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sin. Then he says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what he said on the day of Pentecost. It's still being preached today. That's how you get your name written in the book. Then it says, they that gladly receive the word, they were baptized. Everybody's just not glad. Everybody don't want the word. Some people want philosophy. You want some from other people. But you better stay with these manuscripts. And you better do according to the scriptures, because we're going to be judged by, Jesus says, he that rejects me, receive not my teachings, my sayings, my word. He said, the same is going to judge you. I'm going to ask you why you didn't obey this. Everything in that word. So I first get your name in the book. You can do that by being baptized into Jesus Christ. We extend that invitation. You can be baptized into Jesus Christ. God adds you. We don't add you. You might have a bad past. We don't do a criminal background check on you, a credit check on you. We don't do that, because God does this. That gets your name written in that book. And the beautiful thing about it is God writes the name. But after you get your name written in that book, you can get that name erased too. Some people don't teach. That's a whole nother lesson. But that name can be erased out of that book. He said, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deed. Because see, there's going to be some people on judgment day that's not going to have their name written in the book. And see, if your name is not written in the book, then you're going to be judged by the things that are written in the books, with a plural. You don't want that. I don't want that. Nobody wants that. And that's not the white man's book. That's God's book. Amen, somebody? Oh, according to the scriptures going to lead us to salvation. And I hope you, as I appreciate these scriptures, study them, ask the Lord to guide us and lead us through those. If you need to be saved, you need to be baptized, oh, you need to do that today. You need to do that today. And then get on this lifelong journey. As we live our lives, as we're young parents, as we're single, some of us are in college, and we trying to keep God on our side, just keep staying that word. God is going to guide us. We're going to make some mistakes, but stay in that word. You can read other books. If you want to read some novels, that's okay. But your main emphasis need to be on these scriptures.
Amen.
Somebody come to Jesus. If you need prayer, you type your prayer request. Somebody come to Jesus as we sing our invitation song.
There are some things